Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, John chapter 4. And I would say to you, as a good friend has said to me, sometimes when you're in a familiar passage because you already are familiar with it, it's easy to not dig into the depth of the passage because it's something that you're already familiar with. Well, we won't treat that passage this way today. John chapter 4 is where we'll be in the early part of the chapter. But before we actually read our text, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us glean from this what He'd have us to know. Father, we're very thankful to bow before You today, and we ask You now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. Please fill me with Your Holy Spirit so I can deliver the message You have for us. Please fill us with Your Holy Spirit so we can receive it and know what to do with it and actually do something about it. And we pray that you'll do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In John chapter 4, begin reading with me in verse 5. Jesus Christ is in Samaria. John chapter 4, verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, so it's noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Now keep your Bible open here because we'll explore more of the text, but this is where we want to begin because in verse 10, notice again, when Jesus answered, he said, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. When you read this text and you see what's going on between Jesus Christ and this woman of Samaria, it gives you insight into why some people have not yet gotten everlasting life from this well of water as a gift of God. In other words, today, when I preach the first part of this message, we will all be instructed, because the vast majority, if not all of us in here right now, are already saved. But you're going to learn something, and I'm going to see something in this passage of Scripture that will help us to understand why other people that we know don't yet have what we have. And we need to understand that. It will help us to understand why, because maybe then if we decide to go to them with the message of salvation, we'll know what the point of resistance is for some of them. That will help us. But also, I want to say that it's possible somebody here this morning is not saved. And so while we're going through this, this isn't simply to be instructive to all the here that are already saved, but also to reprove and help you to understand, wait a minute, that's something that I need. That's something that I can have. That's something that I need to receive. No matter how young or old you are, if you're old enough to recognize that you're thirsty spiritually, you're also old enough to recognize there's somebody who can quench your spiritual thirst. Okay? And that happens, I think we were during our Bible conference, I think Brother Raymond Jones preached at the end of that conference on that Sunday night. I think he said he was 5 years old when he got saved. I think Brother Sal's testimony, you were also, weren't you 5 years old? Yeah, 5 years old when he got saved. So there's no specific age. Once you're old enough to know that you're spiritually thirsty and that there's somebody who can quench that thirst, that you go get a drink. Okay? Now, some people haven't gotten the everlasting life that we have. that this woman is going to get in this particular passage of Scripture from this well of water as a gift of God because of something that we see in the text in verse 10 that we just read. First of all, they have the same problem that she had. They don't know the gift of God. They don't know the gift of God. Look again at verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, comma. So you can just stop right there and think about that and ponder that. They don't know. He said, if thou, emphasis on the word, knewest. If you knew this gift, all right, then you might have asked a question of me rather than me asking a question of you. If thou knewest. See, they don't know what the gift is. When you're talking to somebody initially about Jesus Christ, they already have some preconceived notions. This woman was a Samaritan. Jesus Christ was a Jew. She already had some preconceived notions. Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans, see? She already had, they get later in their conversation, they get talking and she says, well, our people say we're supposed to worship God in this mountain and you people say you're supposed to worship God in that mountain. Which one is right? See, she already had some hang-ups with this gift of God because she really didn't know what the gift was. To her, it was confusing. The gift ultimately is eternal life. And nobody naturally has that eternal life. We come into this world, and after we start growing up, at some point we come face to face with the reality that people die. We don't think about that when we're really young because all of the attention is on us living and growing. But all of a sudden, you know, when you're a little bit older, relatives start dying. I was probably, I don't know, 9 and 10 years old when 3 of our relatives died that were older. Every one of them died of a heart attack. I remember asking the question, how did they die? Heart attack. What happened? Well, they fell asleep and in the middle of the night their heart quit beating. I fell asleep with my hand on my heart. I'm to kid you not. If it quits beating, then I'll get it going again. So that was a new thing. But you know something, by around that age, if not before, we are familiar with two things. We're not getting out of here alive, and we have an enemy that we have to contend with from here out. It's called sin. Because you tell yourself when you're young, I'm never going to do that. And the next thing you know, you're knee deep in it. So we got those two things working, sin and death. And so Jesus is talking to her about something that's going to deal with sin and death. She doesn't know this gift of God. God, this man that's talking to her, Jesus Christ, God is an eternal being. This person that's talking to her has no beginning. I realize in the flesh, he was born. But he pre-existed his incarnation. Before Abraham was, I am, he said. He'd been here all along, and now he shows up in a body, and he dies and rises from the dead, and he's still going. And you wanted to check him out. If you could get into heaven right now, maybe you and Elon Musk could arrange a $1 billion transport. And you go up there and take a look. If you could see him at the right hand of God, there he is. He's still there. All right, so all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute. There's something more than the span of life I hope to be able to have that goes on forever. And that gift of God deals with something everlasting. Notice in verse 14, Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Everlasting life. They were going to the well, Jacob's well, to get water for temporal life. We have to drink to live. He said, but I got a kind of water that will not just keep you alive temporarily. I got a kind of water that will keep you alive forever. People you talk to about the Lord don't really get that initially. Do you understand? They don't know. the gift of God. You and I know the gift of God so well, we've become so familiar with it, we use terminology to describe it that they don't even get. All right, so that's the first problem. But looking again in verse 10, he said, if thou knewest, watch it, the gift of God. They don't realize that this is a gift rather than some religious pursuit or some journey. The mindset of men without Christ is, I have to do something to make myself right with God. We have a young fellow right now that has heard the gospel, and he knows what the gift is now. And he knows that he needs the gift. But you know what he's doing at this very moment? He is trying to find a way to organize his life and clean up his life so that he can receive the gift. It's not that. This lady that is a Samaritan did not need to become a Jew. She didn't have to convert from whatever Samaritan religion to whatever Jewish religion was going on at the time. It wasn't about all that. This is a gift, and it cannot be earned. I know the hardest thing to convince my mother when we used to talk about these before her death, these things concerning this, is that it was a gift. She just had it in her mind that you don't get that gift until after you die. You stand before God, you face Him at a judgment, and then if you've been good enough, He'll give you the gift. That's not a gift. You understand, this is not Santa Claus. He's not making a choice between switches and stuff in your stocking, but based on whether you've been naughty or nice. This is a gift. This is a gift. And it's not an achievement award. It's the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You got to understand, when you're talking to them, though, they have a mindset, certainly there must be something I have to do. And that's because they don't know the gift, and they don't realize the gift is a gift. It's a gift. You know, even in our lives here, If I give you a knife, you got to give me a penny. Because you're going to cut yourself with that knife if you don't, or some bad thing's going to happen. I mean, right? There's nothing, not even a penny, involved in this gift. All right, and then the next thing, again, in what Jesus Christ just said that they don't realize. See, they don't know the gift of God. They don't know the gift. They don't know that it's a gift, and they don't know that it's the gift, listen, of God. Of God. This is not a man-made religious concept. When I talk to people a lot of times, and they know that I'm a Baptist preacher, it would be better off really if they didn't know I was a Baptist preacher. It'd be better if they didn't know what religion I was, and if they didn't know I was a preacher. I've got a friend of mine who's a missionary in a country, and he says, I never tell them that I'm a missionary. Because immediately they have a preconceived idea about what I'm here to do. Convert them to my religion or whatever the case may be. And that's not what this is about. This is not exchanging one religion for another. This is not a man-made religious idea. This isn't men that came up with a book to explain how we got here since we didn't like the theory of evolution. It's not that. It's not a manufactured spiritual concept. If a JW comes to your door, that's a manufactured spiritual concept. If a Mormon comes to your door, that's a manufactured, religious, man-made concept. This gift of God is not that. You understand? But they look at it that way. You'll say, are you saved? They'll say, I'm Catholic. Well, I didn't ask you what your religion is. I asked you if you're saved. But you get that answer all the time because immediately they think if it's a conversation concerning these matters, it is a religious conversation. It's not a religious conversation. It's a gift, listen, of God. God did this. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you understand? This all originated with God. And they don't know that. He said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God. She didn't know the gift of God. And immediately it went into all of those things we just talked about. So that's the first problem. They don't know the gift of God. Now, if you don't know the gift of God, then you didn't know that you could have everlasting life as a free gift from God without a religion, then you should consider that he has a gift for you today. Okay? Here's the second thing. They don't know the gift of God, but they don't know the giver. They don't know the giver of the gift of God. Look again in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink." She didn't know who that was. And may I tell you something? When you're talking to somebody about these matters of everlasting life, they don't know Jesus Christ. You understand that? What they know about Jesus Christ is only what they already know. There is a lot about Jesus Christ they do not know. You say, how do you know that? Because there's a lot about Jesus Christ that you don't know. And you're saved. You know as much as you have learned in your association with Him. You know as much as you have learned through reading and hearing preaching. You know as much as you have learned by experience. But you don't know everything there is to know about Jesus Christ. And if you and I don't know more than we know about Jesus Christ, imagine somebody that doesn't know who He is. They only know, and oh man, more of them think that He's a fairy tale like Santa Claus than they do God manifest in the flesh. They don't know Him. They may know something about Him. You ask them. You know anything about Jesus? Yeah, He died for our sins. They know that. But they don't have any idea what that means. Because when somebody says He died, okay, but He's not dead now, for our sins, they don't realize, wait a minute, I'm the sinner. Right? For whom He died. This is a very personal matter. You know, they don't know Him any more than this woman knew. She had no idea she was talking to the Messiah. Not at this point. She had no idea. But as He made Himself known to her, He will make Himself known to those who don't know Him. Look with me in verse 25 and 26. Well, I realize we're jumping ahead in the conversation, but that's okay. Because this is where he reveals Himself to her. The woman saith unto Him, I know, this is verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Now, He has just told her some things about her life between here and where in verse 10 and verse 25 that there's no way Jesus could have known. He's passing through Samaria. He hadn't been here. He's sitting at a well. He sees this stranger come up. He says to her, call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He said, you've spoken truly. You have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. Whoa. How'd you figure that out? All right, so she says, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Now she knows something about Him she didn't know. I'm Christ. And in the way that Jesus Christ revealed Himself to her, listen, Jesus Christ will make Himself known to them or to you if you want to know Him. At this point, she knew He's the Christ. She believed that. I mean, just because He said it, she didn't have to believe it. But when He said it, I mean, because He said that to the Pharisees, and they're like, you're off your rocker, pal. You're a carpenter's son. We know your brothers and sisters. Get out of here. And they ran Him out of town. He said, I'm the Christ. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can put together the fact that all He did was just talk about her past in one sentence. I mean, with the Jews, He's raising the dead. He's cleansing lepers, making the blind to see. And they don't believe He's the Christ. They believe He's a devil. He tells her a little bit about her past and says, I'm the Christ. And she's like, yes, you are. I believe that. Man, that's a major difference. Now she knows who He is. All right? And you know something? If you don't know Him, you can know Him because He will make Himself known to you. You know, I remember when Ori and I were visiting with Sho, the trainer, who was from Japan out at the university. He said to Ori, I know nothing. I don't know Christianity. I don't know Bible. I don't know God. I don't know Jesus. I don't know any of that. So we said, well, you start reading, and as you read, you ask questions, and when you ask questions, we'll answer your questions. So a year and a half into this exercise, he says, well, you know, one thing I really appreciate about you is that you just answer my question. You're not trying to pressure me to make a decision about Jesus Christ. I said, no, I'm not. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. I know that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh now. And I also know that in order to be saved, I must receive him. I know that now. Where did he get that? God had to show that to him, right, out of his words. And then about 6 months after that, when he kept going, you know, he's in here on a service on a resurrection day, Easter morning. And I preach a message on the resurrection, and phew, he meets me in the foyer and says, I'm ready to get saved today. He asked me earlier, he said, what does it feel like to have eternal life? And I smiled. I said, when you have it, you'll know. He got it, and his tears were streaming down his face. He said, I'll tell you something. I know what it feels like to have it now. See, but they don't know that. They don't know the giver of the gift of God. Somehow or another, they got it tied up with you in this building here. Or our religious beliefs. It's not tied up with this. It's tied up with Jesus Christ. She knew that he was the Christ. I say something else you see in this particular verse that they don't know. They don't know how to obtain the gift of God. Look again. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him. How did she get that? Just ask of him. That they don't know how to obtain the gift of God. It's so easy. It's like it's as easy as falling off a log. And if you've ever fallen off one, you know how easy that is. Okay, so it's just boom. She looked at that and said, "I you know what? I believe. I know this is the Christ now. Thou wouldest have asked of him." You know why the people we talk to who aren't saved aren't saved? They haven't ever asked him. Somebody said, how do you get saved? I said, ask and you shall receive. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Ask, right there, receive and believe, right? So I simply say, if you want to receive, just ask him. Just ask him. Ask and you shall receive. And they haven't asked him. And that's either because they haven't been told, or they've been told incorrectly, or they don't believe, or they don't want to, something like that. But they ought to know at this point, the decision rests with me. I must believe. Let me clarify something when I say the decision rests with me. Do you understand Jesus Christ is there? You know, just because you and I, in other words, the Holy Spirit has to be involved in this because it's the Holy Spirit who, by whom they get saved. Okay? It's not a man deal. But men are used as messengers to deliver the message. They believe in Jesus Christ enters their life with everlasting life. If the truth be told, you'll see God working in their lives to bring them to that divine appointment. One of the things that I heard from a missionary recently that was so good, he said, I got to the mission field. But God had already been there before I got there, doing things in people's lives. And then our paths crossed, and you could see. But still, they had to come to that place where they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received the gift. He doesn't force that on them. He gets the gospel to them to believe. And there he is. There he is right there with her. And she, if you don't have everlasting life, you should ask him like this woman. You should believe on him like this woman did. Because now you've been told who this is and what the gift is, right? As he asked a drink from her well, so she asked a drink from his. You know what they don't know? They don't know, verse 10, right at the end, and he would have given thee living water. You didn't know that, did you? He would have given thee living water. He will give living water to anyone who will ask and believe. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There's not anybody so rich that he can't be saved or so poor that he can't be saved. There's not somebody that's so clean who doesn't need to be saved. There's not somebody so wretched who cannot be saved. He'll save them all. This woman was certainly no saint. Five husbands and living with a man? Is that a saint? Not really. A sinner. Not necessarily worse than we are, maybe different than we are, but she's been around the block long enough, right? You'd say, well, this woman wouldn't be qualified to be saved. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. I think that is the qualification. She was no saint, but he, you know what? He gave her the gift. In verse 29... you're going to see a little more of this, but in verse 29, she goes to the city to tell these men, and she says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She can't proclaim that question unless she believes herself that this is the one. This is the one. I got him. You know, you say, there's not much of a transaction here. Doesn't have to be when he's done all the work. Doesn't have to be when he's done all the work. You know, she understood that the living water he was offering was not physical water, but spiritual. Let's read on now from this living water. He says here in verse 10, he says, and he would have given thee living water. Well, the conversation right now has been about water in that well. And he mentioned something about living water. The woman in verse 11 saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? So she's still thinking about, right, the water in the well. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Just a little bit. Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. This is a good well. All that took place way back there. Right, nearly a couple thousand years ago. And that well still got water? That's a good well. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, and you can just see him pointing at that well, shall thirst again. Do you know that's true? What was Jesus doing there? He was thirsty. He was thirsty. That's what you do with that kind of water. You thirst again and you go get some of that water. When Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross, he says seven things. One of the things he says is, I thirst. You're going to, as a matter of fact, I've got five bottles of water up here in the pulpit. If anybody's thirsty right now, I can fire you one. Whosoever drinketh of this water, verse 13, shall thirst again. That's true. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh. She all of a sudden, she's like, wait a minute, wait, whoa. You're not talking about a spoon and a bucket and a water pot and a this. You're talking about something else. Do you think this woman was thirsty for that? After the kind of life? Yes. Yeah. All of a sudden, you know, sometimes you're not thirsty. Like you weren't even thinking about thirst. And right now, I say, you know, man, if you're thirsty, I got right there. And all of a sudden, you're kind of dry. I wish I didn't have to embarrass myself to raise my hand and get a drink of water right now. I don't want to torment you. Is there anybody that needs water right now? Raise your hand. You know why you don't have it? Because you didn't ask for it. That's their problem. That's it. You had your chance. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When he was in that great discourse about the bread of life, he said, "He that believeth on me shall never thirst." That's what the song we sang about was about. Satisfied? Hallelujah, I have found him. Talk about quenching a thirst for God. David in his psalm wrote this, listen. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. When he got thirsty in that land, he didn't thirst for water, he thirsted for God. You know why the Lord allowed the Jews in the wilderness to get thirsty from time to time? So they would start thirsting for God. And when you get thirsty for that, oh, taste and see that God, that, you know, yeah, then it's a whole nother thing. And so what happened is he starts talking about this, and she's kind of like, I think I'd like a drink of that water. I believe that might quench a thirst that's in me that the husks I've gathered around me have never quenched. Everlasting life. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's why they don't know. Because they don't know that. What you just saw. And if you could help them understand what Jesus helped her to understand, that they might see, wait a minute, you're talking to me about quenching a spiritual thirst, a thirst for righteousness, a thirst for God Himself. Now that's a different proposition than why don't you come join our church versus the religion you grew up in, right? That's a very different proposition. So my question to you is this. All right, this is why they don't. And seriously, we're not just talking about people outside this room. If you're here today and your spiritual thirst for righteousness in God have not been filled because you have not received the gift of God, which only Jesus Christ can give, you need to receive that gift today. Okay. And then you'll know. But also, we're now talking about us and how we can communicate this to others. How are they going to find out? If they don't know, right? How are they going to find out? You know, in this passage of Scripture in verse 15, look what she did. This woman saith to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither at all. So she's asking now. Give me this water. See? Asking you shall receive. She asked. All right? Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. What does she tell him to do? Okay, so he's going to give her this water, but he doesn't want this. This is a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What's the difference between a water pot with water and a well of water springing up into everlasting life? That water pot is just going to take care of the needs, right, of her and whatever she's doing there. She can wash with it. She can clean the dishes with it. She can cook with it. She can drink it and other things like that. But it's just for her. When it's a well of water springing up into everlasting life, what's that all about? That includes some other people. When the Philippian jailer came into the jail and Paul and Silas were there, they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you're not going to keep this just to yourself. And thy house. So he says to her, Go call thy husband and come hither. That wasn't just to point out her sin. That was to go get somebody else. If you get this, I'm leaving Samaria. I won't be here anymore. But what I've given you, they need to know. You're not a water pot. You're not a stagnant pond. I have something I've given you that you need to go. So go call thy husband and come hither. And that's when she says, Well, I don't have a husband. Yeah, well, you're right. You don't. Not now. You've had five, and the one you have is not your husband. So they get into discussion now a little bit about the religion. But watch what happens in verse 28 again. Verse 28, the woman then, what are the next three words? Left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. She was intimately acquainted with six of them. I don't say that despairingly. She's known and they're known. That statement there, the woman then, verse 28, left her water pot. What did she come to the well to do? To get water. Can you imagine that she goes to the well, okay, got the water pot. Some guy says, give me a drink. You're a Jew. Anything to do with us. Well, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask of him and he'd have given you living water. Whoa, put the water pot down. What's this all about? And she's like, sir, give me that. I want that water. And so he gives her the water. It's a free gift, right? And then the disciples show up and she leaves the water pot. What did she go there to do? To get water. At that moment, her purpose in life has changed. She's going to need water, but that man is there right now. She left the water pot. There's no water in the pot still. They hadn't got down to that business. You know what happened? The spiritual, eternal matters became more important at that very time than the temporal, earthly matters. Do you see that? She's like, we'll get back to that. You know how we are? Let me take care of all these temporal matters, and when I get all these done, then I will go tell somebody. And that's not how it works. It's like we can get to these. These now have become low priority. There's somebody that needs. He told me to go call my husband. I'm not going to disobey that. As a matter of fact, I'm not just going to tell him. There are a few other men there that need what I just found out. We'll get back to the water pot later. How are they going to know? You and I have got to realize that what we have in us is a well of water springing up into everlasting life for the purpose of also letting other people have a drink. We cannot keep this all to ourselves. And when the water pot becomes more important than the getting the water of everlasting life to others who are spiritually thirsty, they're never going to get a drink. Because we're going to be messing with the Jacob well water. And that you get thirsty again with that water. You know, finding the Messiah completely changed the course of her life. Those who have drunk of the well of living water tell those who are thirsty where they can get a drink. When we have the gift of God and have drunk of the well, we're willing to give it. Nobody has to pay us for it. It doesn't cost anything. There's the gift. But you know what's happened to us? And do you understand when I say us? Us includes the one who's speaking. We become a stagnant pond. Not all. But many. Life's about the water pot now. It's not about the well springing up into everlasting life. Hello? Is that true? Yeah. I realize the water pot needs attention. She'll come back. She'll get some water. She'll take it home. She'll wash those clothes. She'll cook that meal. But right now, there are some thirsty people for eternal life, and the water pot's not important to them right now. The everlasting life is. And now that you know why they don't have what you have, they don't know the gift of God, they don't know who it is, they don't know that it's living water, they don't know that it's everlasting life, somebody needs to tell them. In John chapter 7, Jesus Christ said that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Ghost is in you. But this is like a recirculating aquarium. There's no water flowing out. And this needs to flow out. Right? Right? This is a well of water springing up into everlasting water. Your well needs to flow to others. Do you know, look what happened. So she leaves, right? She leaves in verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they, the men that she told, went out of the city and came unto him. So they had to leave town to go out to where the well is. If you've ever been in any foreign countries where there's a well, the well is usually outside of town. And several cities, several groups, villages come to that well. So they leave town to go out there where Jesus Christ is. And watch what happens, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. You say, well, I would tell people, but my testimony has been ruined. I don't think she had a very good testimony. But when she came and told them and they had seen the change, she testified, the verse says, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word they heard. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ. Look at that, the Savior of the world. May I tell you something? When you go with this book here, this living book here that I've got, this Bible, and you go with the well in you, and you tell somebody else about Jesus Christ, listen, he reveals himself to them, and they hear from him. That's what she said. That's what it says. Now we believe, not because of thy saying. You're the one that gets it started. We have heard him ourselves. When they hear these words that are written in this book, you know who they're hearing from? The man that was talking to her at the well that day. We have heard him ourselves. Now we believe. We know that this is the Christ. See, that was the problem before. They didn't know who it is. Now they know. He's the Savior of the world. I want to ask you something. That water of everlasting life that you have drunk, is that good water? Has it done anything for you at all? Would you really want to keep it all to yourself and let the water pot of your life be the only concern that you have now? You know, you keep thirsting again with that water pot. Listen, if you have not drunk of this water, my question is, will you believe Jesus Christ today and take a drink of the living water in the well of everlasting life? She said, sir, give me this water. Is there anybody here today that would say, you know what? I have never had that water of everlasting life, and would say to Jesus Christ, sir, give me of that water today. Is there anybody like that? When I ask you if you wanted this bottle right here, nobody raised a hand. And so you don't get it. I'm going to keep it. Nano, nano, nano. I suppose, I mean, because I'm familiar with most faces that are in here, that most of you say, but what if there's one person in here who isn't? Would you? See, people are looking. They saw her. She went into town boldly. I'm just going to ask you, is there anybody here today who say, sir, give me this water. I want that water of everlasting life. Anybody like that? You would. You see, you know what that takes? That takes courage. But it also takes understanding. I'll take it. Sir, give me this water. You can have that water today. Jesus Christ. Yeah. If you've drunk of this water, I want to ask you a question. Will you tell someone else about Jesus Christ so they can have a drink of everlasting life? We have a person here today who said, sir, give me this water, and wasn't ashamed with you to raise your hand and say, I'll take this water. She's going to get it. Who here would raise your hand today and say, I will tell someone else about Jesus Christ so they can have a drink of that everlasting water? Amen. Yeah, yeah. You okay? Okay. Now make good on that. She did. He said, go tell. And she went. Somebody the Lord will put on your mind, if he hadn't right now, he will this afternoon. That's the person to go tell. And you don't need any more instruction from the Word of God than what you have. You go tell them. And now you know what to say because you know what their problem is. And God will bless you for it. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful today to open the Scripture. What a glorious day. I come to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, and ask you, please, do two things. Number one, help us when this meeting is over and we have a chance to sit down together, the lady that raised her hand, she will be able to know, just like this woman at the well did, I now have that everlasting life in me. Pray you'll do that. Secondly, Father, there are a lot of hands that raised here today of people who said, you know what? I am not going to keep this water to myself. I'm going to go do what that woman did and let other people get a drink. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will not give the excuse of fools and turn on our hinges and keep trying to come up with a reason not to do what we agreed that we would do today. My prayer is, Father, that you will help us now by the leadership of your Holy Spirit to go where you want us to go and say what you want us to say. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.